Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. I am so excited about our discussion today. I will be answering 12 specific questions related to the New Earth prophecy. As you may know, there is a famous book by a New Age prophet. That book is called A New Earth. It is a counterfeit. In reality, what is true is noted in the Holy Bible. Specifically, in the book of Revelation, there are statements of prophecy. Every statement of prophecy is genuine and true. Those statements of prophecy begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. The statements of prophecy are given to us by the Apostle John. And John says to us immediately following the last statement of prophecy, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And further, in verse 18 of chapter 22, John says, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions, and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them. So, in the book of Revelation, there are statements of prophecy. In the world, there are counterfeit statements of prophecy, but we're going to talk about the New Earth prophecy, what is to come in our future. Specifically, I want to answer for you, based on information provided in the book of Revelation, these 12 questions. Number one, what is the New Earth? Number two, when is the New Earth coming? And three, how does the old earth pass away? Four, is the millennial reign before or after the new earth? Five, what role does the second death play on the new earth? Question number six, when will death be no more? Question number seven, what are the milestone prophecies before the new earth? The eighth question I will answer today is who will be allowed to live on the new earth? Question number nine, will those in heaven be relocated to the new earth? Question number 10, who will be disallowed to live on the new earth? Question 11, what is the mark of God on the bodies of those on the new earth? And finally, question number 12, what is the role of Jerusalem on the new earth? I have been studying the book of Revelation. It is a phenomenal, complex, creative work of nonfiction. Let me say that again. It's a phenomenal, creative, complex work of nonfiction. It is, in fact, a report of future events. It includes six parts. If we were analyzing it from a professional writing perspective, we'd see that there are six parts to the book of Revelation, which include a formal introduction as well as a formal conclusion. Those are two parts. The bulk of the Revelation, the book of Revelation, is the statements of prophecy. The statements of prophecy appear one after the other. It's like if you were tuning into your favorite channel and there were multiple episodes, but still the same program, but multiple episodes of that particular television show, and you were watching it, and after one program ended, then another episode will come on, then episode 3, then episode 4, then episode 5. So how does this work in the book of Revelation? Beginning with chapter 5, we have the first statement of prophecy. And this whole book is about what are the events that happen on the earth and in heaven as it relates to the story of mankind and the second coming of Jesus Christ onto the earth. So the entire book of Revelation is about that. And so in episode 1, if you will, I'm using language that connects to our everyday lives in 2022. If you were watching episode 1 of the book of Revelation, that statement of prophecy is the seven seals prophecy. That episode, there's a trailer for it. It's very short. And then we have the episode in its entirety. That's followed by episode 2, the second statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, which is the seven trumpets prophecy. The third episode is the 1,260 days prophecy. That is chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. It focuses specifically and narrowly on the Great Tribulation. Gives us a little bit of background context for the Great Tribulation, the wrath of Satan. The fourth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, episode 4, is the dragon power prophecy. This is the playbook for Satan. So what happens when the Antichrist and the false prophet rule and reign on earth inspired by the power of Satan? God tells us exactly what is going to happen and the strategies of the enemy. That information is provided in, again, the dragon power statement of prophecy. The fifth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the Lamb Stood prophecy. The sixth statement of prophecy is the seven plagues prophecy. So that prophecy is all about what are the strategies of God for the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. How will God take out the enemies of Israel and the enemies of God at the time of the Battle of Armageddon? The eighth statement of prophecy, wait, I skipped one. The seventh statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper prophecy is the seventh statement of prophecy. The eighth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the dragon-bound prophecy. The ninth statement of prophecy is the dead judge prophecy, which we focused on in the month of May. Every program, every show for this show, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation, every show in the month of May was on the dead judge prophecy. If you haven't had a chance to listen to any or all of those, I encourage you to go to the archive so that you can hear about the dead judge prophecy. And this month, in the month of June, we are talking about the New Earth prophecy, the final prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is very exciting. I want to jump right into those questions that I shared at the beginning. So the first question that I want to answer is, what is the New Earth? The New Earth is a perfected, glorified, incorruptible, tangible earth. We learn in the New Earth prophecy that in the same way that those in Christ transition from a corruptible, perishable, mortal body to an incorruptible, glorified, perfected, immortal body, earth will pass away and transition to a perfected, glorified new earth. In this age, we are in the age of the curse. We are born in sin as a result of what Adam and Eve completed with respect to their behaviors. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. And so when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that work meant that he died in your place if you choose to accept that payment. So instead of you dying, instead of me dying because of the work of our mind, will, and emotions, and don't be deceived, friend, if you are on the earth, I have sinned and you have sinned because we are in the age where demonic entities are on the earth, where men and women, those even who are saved in Christ, are subject to being deceived by Satan. And so the soul that sinneth shall die. And make no mistake about it, my greatest enemy, your greatest enemy, is death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. And so the point of this question, what is the new earth, is to understand that after the curse, everything that is evil that exists on the new earth will be abolished, including death itself. After that has happened, then we get a new earth. Let me read from the New Earth prophecy. In verse 1 of chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, it says, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea. This prophecy, this event happens after the great white throne judgment. So at this stage in our age, on the earth we have polluted waters. On the earth we have trees that can die. On the earth we have animals that in order to live must murder other animals to maintain their life. Why? Because we're under the curse. When the curse is lifted and time for a new earth to be created, in the same way that those who have died in Christ and their bodies have simply fallen asleep, they have passed away but have perfect continuity of life on heaven, their soul, mind, will, and emotions remains intact. Their spirit remains intact, yet they are disembodied. At the time of the second coming of Christ, they will transition and receive. They will transition to a new, perfected, glorified, immortal body. Now, let's talk about this new earth, and specifically, what is the new earth? The five enemies of God will be subdued and abolished. They will no longer exist on the new earth, which means that there will be no more evil. There will be no opportunity for corruption, evil, and abominations to dwell, permeate, influence, dominate, inspire destruction on the earth. That is a glorious time. That is the time where there will be no more wars. There will be no more rumors of wars. Let me share with you the five enemies of God from my perspective and how the order specifically of their destruction. The Antichrist and the false prophet are the first two enemies of God to be thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. We learn in verse 20 of chapter 19, that they are thrown into the fiery lake. It says, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp mark of the beast and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. Okay, those are the first two enemies of God. They are thrown into the fiery lake. That is the second death. It is a permanent death. The second death is a permanent death. They are thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, we see the third enemy of God removed from the earth. It says, in verse 10 of chapter 20, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. Okay, so the enemies of God, 1, 2, 3, removed from the earth, thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. Let's see what happens next. In verse 14 of chapter 20, it says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. That's enemy number 4, death and Hades. What's Hades? That's the physical location that houses every person who has passed away and who passed away not in Christ. So when a person has passed away, that person has perfect continuity of life with respect to the soul, mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit, but not the body. We were designed to exist in three parts, body, spirit, and soul. The last enemy to be abolished is death. What does that mean? When death is abolished, when death exists no more, that means that all who dwell in a body, an immortal body, a perfected body, a glorified body, will live forever and ever. And so, we have the enemies of God are subdued and abolished, the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, death itself, as well as those, unfortunately, as well as those who refused to repent, those who took the mark of the beast, those who chose to pay for their own sin debt. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die, and the wages of sin is death. And that means that sin must be paid for. So either we can choose to pay for our own sin debt, or we can say, I don't want to pay for my own sin debt. I will repent of my sins. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And according to the Bible, if you can, and we can certainly in this age get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when you do those things, you have elected the better option from my perspective. So what does it all mean? God's perfect plan is for you to live in a perfected body on a perfected earth. This earth is not perfected. It's subject to corruption, and you can see it every time you look in water and it's polluted and you can't drink it. Every time you look at a tree and it is dying. Every time you look at an animal and it is murdering another animal just so it can itself stay alive. Well, why do these things exist? If the creator of the earth loves us, why do these things exist? They exist because of the curse. And because we are in the age that is inspired by Satan, but in the time to come, after the second coming and after the millennial reign, we will have a new earth. So specifically, the question is, what is the new earth? The new earth is a perfected version of this earth in the same way that your glorified body is a perfected version of your body. Every person in Christ, those of us who will be here at the time of the second coming, and those who have already died in Christ, will receive a perfected, glorified, incorruptible, immortal body. After every evil thing, everything under the inspiration of Satan, everything in the will of Satan, and Satan himself, and the location of those who lived disembodied, after they passed away, all those things will be thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. At that point, we learn in the book of Revelation, after the dead judged prophecy, which ends with verse 15 of chapter 20, we immediately go into chapter 21, and it says, "Then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea." And so the answer to the question, what is the new earth, is it's this earth, but without any errors in it. Your new body, your perfected body, is your body without any errors in it. So you might, with respect to your first body, we already know the major error that it has is that it's subject to death. It is corruptible. People reach a physical peak and then begin to deteriorate, shrink, muscles sometimes get weaker, eyesight begins to deteriorate, and so forth. In the same way, you hear a lot of discussion about things that are happening to the earth, and we don't, the quality of our air and the quality of the water, what has happened to this animal species and that animal species. Friend, we should not be in distress when we see that this physical earth is dying. We should not be in distress when we think about the fact that our physical bodies are on a trajectory to death. We need to be in hope because we are aware of the truth. We are aware of the future that is coming. When you die, you immediately transition to heaven as a disembodied spirit and soul. You have perfect continuity of life if you are in Christ. And at the time of the second coming, you will transition back to being embodied. But this time, your DNA will be perfect. The Bible says that the sins of the father are visited upon the sons up to the third and fourth generation. There are things going on with you and with me that reflect the challenges that our foremothers and forefathers failed to overcome. And we do our best. We take communion, we eat healthy foods, we drink water, we work out. Nonetheless, we dwell currently in a mortal body, but there's coming a day and a time, an appointed time, where every person in Christ will transition to a perfected body. Similarly, there's coming a time, an appointed time, after the great white throne judgment, where the final enemies of God will be thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. That's the second death. That's the permanent death. And after that, God transitions this earth from the current earth to a new earth. Now, what else happens then? What else happens then? Many things happen with the coming of the new earth. Specifically, it says in the new earth prophecy, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore, for the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. So there's a current order of things that exists in this stage and on this earth, but that order is passing away. Specifically, death has passed away. On the new earth, no thing will die. Let me go to question number two. When is the new earth coming? The new earth is coming after the great white throne judgment. It is coming after the final enemies of God have been subdued and abolished. So death itself and every human being will be restored to life again, either at time one or time two. So sometimes people think, well, I'm just gonna do my best to live a good life, and whatever happens afterwards, that's what happens. No. Let's be clear about the reality of restoration to life. The Bible repeatedly says that to experience death is to fall asleep. Now, why would we see that more than 15 times in the Bible? Death is referred to using the language asleep. That's because the first death is a pseudo-death. So pseudo means false, pseudoscience, fake science, pseudonym, false name. So why do I say that death is, the first death is a pseudo-death? Because every person will be restored to life again, either at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ or at the time of the great white throne judgment. In verse 5 of chapter 20, it says, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So what are the 1,000 years? So question number four that I want to answer for us today is the millennial reign before or after the new earth? The millennial reign precedes the new earth. It's before. Every person in Christ will be restored to life again at time number one. Time number one is the time of the second coming. First, those who died in Christ will receive their perfected bodies, their new bodies, their glorified bodies, their immortal bodies. And then those who are alive at the time of the second coming, we will rise up to meet Jesus in the clouds, having received our perfected, glorified, incorruptible, imperishable, immortal bodies. That is the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign. At the conclusion of the millennial reign is the great white throne judgment that I mentioned earlier today. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the books will be opened, and this is discussed in the Dead Judged prophecy, the prophecy immediately preceding this new earth prophecy. All those who are restored to life again at time number two, they will have their books opened. The Lamb's Book of Life will be opened, and they will proceed to experiencing what they are appointed to, given that they have chosen to pay their own sin debt. So again, the wages of sin is death, and sin must be accounted for. It must be paid for. There are only two options. No number of good deeds, no amount of money. It doesn't matter how great you look. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter if you gave everything you had to the poor. Those are good things to do, to give, to engage in good works. But friend, there's a popular religion that says as long as 50.0001% of your deeds are good, then you go to paradise. Like as if there's a balance. The creator of the earth is perfect. And in order to be in the presence of and dwell with God on the new earth, we must be in a perfected body. The only way to receive an immortal perfected body is through Christ. The Bible tells us there is no way to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's what Jesus Christ says. And in the book of Revelation, we learn that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. In verse 5, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth began to rule once human government, the thrones of human government are put down at the time of the beginning of the millennial reign. Once the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won, the thrones of human government are put down. The kingdom of God is established on the earth, and it continues through the millennial reign and on to and beyond the creation of the new earth. And so a question is, when is the new earth coming? And the answer to that question is, it is coming after the great white throne judgment. How does the old earth pass away? That's question number 3. The old earth does not pass away as a result of fire, climate change, earthquakes, or any other natural disaster. Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away, vanished. And then we also see, let's talk about this new heaven. Specifically, God relocates his abode, his home, his mansion. I'm saying his mansion. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says his mansion. It says his abode. I assume it's a mansion, but it could be some other thing. But we know it's great. He relocates his abode from heaven to the earth. If God is to dwell on earth, and he will, it must be a perfected earth. And therefore, God has a plan and a promise, and it has already happened in the future, to transition this earth from a state of corruption and immorality, a state where death exists, a state where abominations occur on a regular basis, a state where men and women may be inspired by Satan, a state where Satan dominates world affairs, to a state of perfection, to a state of newness. The Bible says in the new earth prophecy, which begins with verse 1 of chapter 21 and ends with verse 5, in verse 5 of chapter 21, in this new earth prophecy, it says, and he who was seated on the throne said, see, I make all things new. Also, he said, record this, for these sayings are faithful, accurate, incorruptible, and trustworthy, and true, genuine. And in verse 10, it says, then in the spirit, he conveyed me away to a vast and lofty mountain and exhibited to me the holy, hallowed, consecrated city of Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. I want to pause there. At the beginning of the new earth prophecy, we learned that there's a new heaven and a new earth. The heaven that exists today is a physical location at which the throne of God and the abode of God exists. On the new earth, once it is created, God sends Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem that has been created, that has been fashioned, that has been conceptualized, that exists. God sends a new Jerusalem from heaven. It descends from the current heaven down, down, down through the clouds. We imagine that if you are on that new earth, you can see it, and it merges onto the new earth. Let me read that again. In verse 2, which includes the second verse of the movie trailer for this statement of prophecy, John says, "And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband." And then later in verse 10, when we're getting more of the details, we hear, "Then in the spirit," he, talking about the angel that was showing John these things, "conveyed me away to a vast and lofty mountain and exhibited to me the holy, hallowed, consecrated city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, clothed in God's glory in all its splendor and radiance." And then we get a beautiful description of this city, which I will share if time constraints permit today. And what else do we learn about this city? We get so many details about this city provided in the New Earth prophecy, but I want to make sure I have time to get to all of the 12 questions that I want to answer for today. Question number 5, what role does the second death play on the New Earth? The answer to that question is that it exists no more. The second death is what allows the new earth to be created by God. The second death is the permanent death. The second death allows God to fulfill the prophecy noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. In 1 Corinthians 15, 26, it says, "The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death." When death itself is thrown into the fiery lake, the second death, and you say, "Well, Dr. Nicole, I've never heard that before. What are you talking about?" I'm going to go back briefly to the dead judged prophecy, and I want to read verse 14 again of the dead judged prophecy. It says, "Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. So that's at the time of the great white throne judgment. All whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they experienced the second death at the time of the great white throne judgment. Death itself, is along with Hades, experienced the second death. And so the second death is a precursor and a prerequisite for the emergence of the new earth. In order for a perfected earth to exist and continue in perfection, everything that has within it or that is subject to evil, inspiration of Satan, demonic activity, engaging in sin and abominations, all of those things, they must be abolished in order for a perfected earth to exist. And the way that God abolishes his enemies, including death, is through the strategy, the reality of the second death. And so people talk about, well, when you die, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? And heaven is a temporary location for those who are in Christ but currently disembodied. And in fact, God is going to relocate his abode from heaven onto the new earth. So not this earth, not the earth that exists today, and not the earth that will exist during the millennial reign. Note that during the millennial reign, Satan is chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, but he's released for a short while. It's not until after Satan is abolished. In other words, when Satan is thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever, that's the second death. And then all those at the time of the great white throne judgment, none of their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so, unfortunately, they are thrown into the fiery lake with the second death. And then death and Hades are thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. That's the second death. At that time, friend, there's no longer any evil thing, any evil person, any evil spirit on the earth. And so God, in the same way that through his sovereignty, through his power, through his knowledge, through his will, he transitions you and me and every person in Christ from a mortal, corruptible, perishable body to a perfected, incorruptible, glorified body. He transitions this earth to a glorified, perfected, incorruptible new earth. It says in the new earth prophecy, I make all things new. Now, who said that? In verse 5 of chapter 21, and he who is seated on the throne said, see, I make all things new. And then in verse 6 it says, and he further said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Okay, let's go to question number 6. When will death be no more? I love this question. I've said it a number of times in this particular program. Death is your enemy. Death is my enemy. There's no greater enemy, in my opinion, than death. Now, you might say, well, I think Satan's the greater enemy, or I think this other thing, and you might be right. You might be right, but God says specifically the last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. And our question is, when will death be no more? The answer to that question is at the conclusion of the great white throne judgment and prior to the emergence of the new earth, death will be no more. So once death is thrown into the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever, it is no more. So it actually happens during the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment occurs in the context of the Dead Judge Prophecy, which we discussed here on this program, on every show in the month of May. After the Great White Throne Judgment, the new earth emerges. God transitions this current earth to a new earth. You might say, well, what does the new earth look like? Well, what will you look like in your glorified, perfected body? We can look at the firstborn of the dead for clues. When Jesus Christ returned, he was recognizable. He was immediately recognized by those who knew him. Every person who saw him in his corruptible body recognized him when they saw him in his incorruptible, glorified, perfected body. So what does that mean? When you get your glorified, perfected, incorruptible, immortal body, it will be you, but a better version of you. A version of you where you will never be subject to depression. You will never be subject to muscular dystrophy. You will never be subject to cancer. You will never be subject to your knees wearing out, to your bones cracking. You will have a perfect body. You might think, you know, I'm 83 or I'm 42, I'm 31, I'm getting up there, I just don't move the way I used to be, friend, you haven't moved yet in the best way that you're going to move. You haven't run your fastest race. You haven't played your best game. You haven't written your best book. You haven't danced your best dance yet. It is in your future. And you say, well, how long is my future? I'm celebrating a birthday coming up in just a week. But on this earth, in this age, I will only live one millionth. And that's an inaccurate estimate. I'm minimizing the reality. But just think about this. 1 millionth of the duration of my lifetime. So think about the number of years that you believe you will dwell in your current body and imagine it's only 1 millionth. In reality, it's less than 1 billionth of your actual age that you will dwell in an immortal, imperishable body on this new earth, where you say, Dr. Nicole, this sounds like science fiction. Well, we learn in this new earth prophecy, in verse 5, the last verse of the new earth prophecy in chapter 22, it says, and there shall be no more night. They have no need for lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light. Talking about what will happen with the New Jerusalem, which is a city, one of many locations and nations that will dwell on the new earth. And they, talking about all members of the royal race, shall reign as kings. Now, how long? And they shall reign as kings forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. Well, how long is eternity? Okay, if you have a number in mind, how long are eternities? Okay, if you have a number for that, how long are the eternities of the eternities? So you have not reached your physical peak yet. It is in the future. It awaits you. It's God's will for every person to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, for every person to be a member of the royal race. So what's the royal race? The royal race includes every person who is in Christ, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who has decided, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I accept your payment for my sin debt. Therefore, you died instead of me, and I will have life everlasting with you when I am restored to life again. Again, in verse 5 of Chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life. If Jesus Christ is the first to be brought back to life, who is the second to be brought back to life? And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth? That's you, that's me, that's every person who died in Christ. And every person who is in Christ at the time of the second coming. Let's keep going with these questions that are answered in the New Earth prophecy. Question number 7, what are the milestone prophecies before the New Earth? That's an interesting question. There are many prophecies, but I want to note the highlight, the key prophecies that we will see come to pass before the emergence of the new earth. Number one, we will see the confirmation of the covenant. So specifically, we will see that a peace-sharing agreement will be created by the movers and shakers of the world, most likely nations that are a part of the European Union or some version of it, that will allow the Jewish people to rebuild the third temple. So So we will see on the Temple Mount Jews worshiping in a rebuilt temple alongside Muslims worshiping in their mosque. We will also see 3.5 years after the confirmation of the covenant, we will see the Antichrist stand in that rebuilt temple. He will declare that he is God. Following that, we will see 1,260 days noted in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, 1,260 days in which the wrath of Satan is visited upon Israel specifically, as well as Christians. Those who know of the knowledge and power of Jesus Christ, those who are in Jesus Christ, it says in verse 17 of chapter 12, so then the dragon was furious, enraged at the woman. The dragon is Satan. The woman in this particular prophecy, the 1,260 days prophecy, is Israel. It says in verse 17, so then the dragon was furious, enraged at the woman, and he went away to wage war on the remainder of her descendants. So the remainder of the Jews who lived at that time, who will live at that time, who obey God's commandments and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and adhere to it and bear witness to him. After the great tribulation, the 1,260 days, we have the wrath of Satan followed by the wrath of God. So the wrath of Satan is for Israel and Christians, the children of God. The wrath of God is for the enemies of God, the children of Satan, those who have rejected God. So we will see the Battle of Armageddon, the seven plagues reflect the battle strategy planned and the battle strategy that will be executed to defeat the troops under the inspiration of the Antichrist and false prophet who will come against Israel. So that prophecy will come to pass on this current earth. We will see the second coming of Jesus Christ where, as we've talked about today, that's restoration to life again at time number one. We will see all who are in Christ receive a perfected and glorified body, and we will rule and reign with Christ on this current earth for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years will not be a time of absolute and true perfection. That's to be discussed more when we focus on the dragon-bound prophecy, but the key point is we will see human government and the thrones of human government put down, and the kingdom of God will emerge. Keep in mind, we're still under the curse, though, right? When I say that, well, you say, well, Nicole, how are we under the curse? We will have our perfected bodies, but we will not yet exist on a perfected earth. Let me say that again. During the millennial reign, we will have our perfected bodies, our new bodies. Behold, I make all things new, but we will not yet have our new earth. After the 1,000 years, at the end, Satan experiences the second death. Things I shared earlier, once all the enemies of God are not only subdued but abolished, then we get the new earth. And so those are some of the key and milestone prophecies that exist before the new earth. Let's go to question number 8. Who will be allowed to live on the new earth? I love this question. There are many reasons to follow Jesus. There are many reasons to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you weren't interested in Jesus at all, you might be interested in the reality of the ability for every human being to live on a peaceful earth, free of war, free of corruption, in a perfect body forever and ever. Who will be allowed to live on the new earth? It will only be those who are in Christ, specifically those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the definitive evidence used to determine who is allowed to dwell on the new earth is the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. That's talking about the second death. And again, in the new earth prophecy, we see that it is mentioned in verse 27 of chapter 21, but nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall ever enter it, nor anyone who commits abominations, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or practices falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in also, I'm looking for the other scripture. I don't have it noted here, but there's another scripture in this New Earth prophecy that also mentions the Lamb's Book of Life. The take-home point, on the New Earth, there will be no individual who is not in Christ. So there are questions, and when we talk about the millennial reign, let's get into those questions about, well, who's on the earth during the millennial reign? At this stage of the new earth, every person, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who transition immediately from life to the second death, they're thrown into the lake of fire immediately. But every other person will be restored to life again, either at the time of the second coming, in other words, transitioning to an immortal, perfected, glorified body, or at time two, the time of the great white throne judgment. Final decisions are made about who is in Christ and who isn't. Every person who is not in Christ, every person who's chosen to pay for their own sin debt, that person goes to their appointment. So the appointment is either an appointment to everlasting life in a perfected body, or the lake of fire, the second death. And so that lake of fire burns with brimstone forever and ever. There's torment there forever and ever. It is not God's will for any person to experience the second death, but unfortunately some will. Now, on this new earth, no person who has rejected Christ will live on the new earth. So who's going to be on the new earth? God will be on the new earth, and Jesus Christ will be on the earth, and all who are members of the royal race, every person in Christ will be on the new earth. So with respect to who's allowed, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go to the next question, which is, will those in heaven be relocated to the new earth? That's an excellent question, and the answer is every person who is in heaven will receive a perfected, glorified, immortal body at the time of the first resurrection. At the time of the first resurrection, I believe that Bible scripture tells us that that happens at the second coming of Christ. And so my point is that once a person goes from being disembodied to being reborn, in other words, that person transitions to a tangible body on this earth, the person doesn't leave. So every person in heaven who has already passed away or who will pass away before the second coming of Jesus Christ will be on this earth for the millennial reign. And so they will be relocated to earth way before the new earth. They will be relocated to earth at the time of the first resurrection, which happens at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So will those in heaven be relocated to the new earth? Yes, but they will already be here. So in other words, we will be here for the duration of the millennial reign. We will be here through the great white throne judgment, even though we as Christians and saints, we will not be participants in the great white throne judgment. And then, of course, after the great white throne judgment, the old earth passes away and the new earth, we transition to the new earth, which again, in the same way that you will transition from your mortal imperfect body to an immortal perfected body, this earth will transition from a corruptible, corrupted, perishable earth to a perfected earth. It will be as glorious as it was before the fall, thinking back to what Adam and Eve experienced on this earth before sin was allowed on the earth. We will have that again. God says, behold, I make all things new. Satan is a liar. He has not won. God will defeat Satan, and the plans of God will prevail. The plans of God will prevail. God says and promises to us, behold, I make all things new, and that includes a new earth. Let's go to the next question. Question number 10, who will be disallowed to live on the new earth? I think I've answered this, but just to make sure, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be disallowed. So you say, well, Dr. Nicole, where are they? There's always perfect continuity of life. Soul, mind, will, and emotions. We're three parts, our soul, our spirit, and our body. Those who are disallowed, they will be in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone forever and ever. In verse 10 of chapter 20, it says, talking about one of the people who will be in the fiery lake, talking about the devil. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then in verse 15 of chapter 20, it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. So they will be disallowed to live on the new earth and will, in fact, have another location where they dwell, which is that fiery lake. Question number 11, where is the mark of God on the bodies of those on the new earth? I love this question. I don't know if you've noticed, but one of the things that I noticed is that Satan loves to copy God. So, for example, God shared in the Old Testament that he would make his dwelling place in Jerusalem. And then so we see after God made that announcement, there have been more wars fought over Jerusalem than any other city in the world. And we see from Bible prophecy that the Antichrist will stand on the Temple Mount in the rebuilt temple and declare that he is God. That's the counterfeit. And another counterfeit is the mark of the beast. So the mark of the beast is the mark of Satan in the Bible. In chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, we see the playbook of Satan, and those who take the mark of the beast, they will take it on their forehead or on their hand. It says in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 13. So this is the counterfeit. Also, he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that is the counterfeit. The true mark is the mark that the members of the royal race, the mark that we will wear on our bodies when we live on the new earth as members of the royal race, as kings that reign forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. At the end of the new earth prophecy, this secret is revealed. In verse 4 of chapter 22, it says, "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Let me read that again. It says, "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." The name of God will be on our foreheads. That is the true mark. That is the real mark, the genuine mark. The mark of the beast is a counterfeit. Whatever you do, friend, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the time emerges, when that mark is a reality, do not take the mark of the beast. What does it matter if you live for 3.5 years, for 3.5 years on this current earth, if you forfeit the opportunity to live for 3.5 million years on the new earth? Now, not everyone will lose his or her life during the Great Tribulation. Many will live. So I don't want anyone to be in fear, but do understand the reality that taking the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your hand, that disqualifies you from having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you want to make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so the answer to the question, where is the mark of God on the bodies of those on the new earth? It is on our foreheads. It's on our foreheads. That is also shared in the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. Jesus has some words for the seven churches that existed Asia at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation. And he tells them things that those who overcome, in other words, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he says what they will get. And so these things are true for all who are victorious. And so specifically, what do we hear from the book of Revelation? What does it mean to be victorious? We learn that it means, and this is what you will get, "To him who overcomes is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And then we also learn, "He who overcomes is victorious shall in no way be injured by the second death." That's verse 11 of chapter 2. Let me read that again. "He who overcomes is victorious shall in no way be injured by the second death." Now, we know from our time today, the second death, that's the permanent death. That's dwelling in the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. Well, now what else happens when you are victorious? "To him who overcomes, conquers, I will give to eat of the manna that is hidden, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it." That's verse 17 of chapter 2. What else? "He who overcomes is victorious and who obeys my commands to the very end, doing the works that please me, I will give him authority and power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a scepter rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and his power over them shall be like that which I myself have received from my Father. and I will give him the morning star. Three more things. So what does it mean to be victorious? When you are victorious, you persevere. In other words, you endure the trials and tribulations of life, your specific life, and you endure with an ending in Christ. As soon as possible, be in Christ. This might be your first time hearing about the truth of Jesus Christ. You might say, I've been a Christian for 80 years or 50 years. Whatever you do, friend, know that in order to be victorious, you must be in Christ. Your name must be recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're getting all these wonderful things. I want to share with you three more things that you will get as a result of being victorious. And the evidence of your victory is that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will surely be restored to life again, an immortal perfected body at the first resurrection. So what else do you get? He who conquers is victorious. Reading from verse 5 of chapter 3. He who conquers is victorious shall be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels. And in verse 12 of chapter 3, it says, he who overcomes is victorious. I will make him a pillar in the sanctuary of my God. He shall never be put out of it or go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Okay, so that's the name that's going on your forehead. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. That's the real mark. That's the mark that we want to have on our foreheads when we live on the new earth, in our perfected immortal bodies, where we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. Finally, it says, I stand at the door and knock, reading from verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. Now, what did he overcome? He overcame death. Let me say that again. What exactly did Jesus overcome? He overcame death. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished is death. Jesus Christ overcame death, and he was the firstborn of the dead. He is the firstborn of the dead, the first to be brought back to life. Your decisions decide whether you will be immortal or not. Your decisions decide whether you will live on the new earth or not. Your decisions decide whether you will dwell in the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever or not. If you choose to be in Christ, if you say, you know what, I realize that I have sinned, and it's no way possible to pay for my sin debt, therefore, I'm going to get right with God. I don't want anything to stand between me and God. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way. Now, why do you want to come to the Father? You want to live on the new earth in your perfected body, which is God's will for your life, which is God's best for your life forever and ever. On the new earth, every family member, every friend, every neighbor, every person who has ever existed and who accepted God will be on that new earth. You won't say, oh, I wish I had time to visit so-and-so. Or, you know, if I had another 10 years, I'd really get in the book of Psalms. That's one of my favorite books. Or if I had to do it all over again, I'd spend more time, friend, on the new earth. You will live for decades, millennia, and millions of years. That's God's best for you. I encourage you to be in agreement with that. Let me go to question number 12. What is the role of Jerusalem on the new earth? I think this might be my favorite question because as I read the book of Revelation, I can hear the excitement. I can hear the excitement and I see the focus that God gives to this. And because it's important to God, it causes me to want to give it my attention. Jerusalem is the physical location that God will have his abode in on the new earth. Right now, there is a Jerusalem that exists on this current earth. After the millennial reign, with the emergence of the new earth, a new Jerusalem descends from heaven onto this earth. And there are things that will happen in this new Jerusalem, this specific city. I want to read that part of the new earth prophecy to you for us, beginning with verse 22 of chapter 21 and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. It says, I saw no temple in the city, talking about the new Jerusalem, for the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. So in this city, the temple is replaced as a physical place marker, placeholder, reminder of the future coming of the Lord God omnipotent and Jesus Christ. We won't need that temple anymore. We're going to have it in the future. This third temple will be rebuilt prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But on the new earth, it says, I saw no temple in the city, talking about the new Jerusalem. Why not? For the Lord God omnipotent himself and the Lamb himself are its temple. And the city, talking about the New Jerusalem, has no need of the sun nor of the moon to give light to it. For the splendor and radiance glory of God illuminated and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations shall walk by its light and the rulers and leaders of the earth shall bring into it their glory. And its gates shall never be closed by day and there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory, the splendor and majesty and the honor of the nations into it. So there are going to be nations on the earth. Specifically, the book of Revelation focuses on Jerusalem because God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he's moving. He's moving from present heaven where he lives right now to the earth. You say, well, God's moving? Yes, God is moving. He tells us that he's moving. And where specifically is he going to live? He's going to live on the new earth, not this present earth, but the perfected new earth. And the specific city that he's going to live in is the New Jerusalem. He designed and created this city in heaven. He sends it from heaven by his own power and might from heaven to this earth, and it merges onto the new earth, a perfected earth. And then in verse 1 of 22, it says, Then he showed me the river whose waters give life, sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the Broadway of the city, again talking about the New Jerusalem, also on either side of the river was the tree of life, with its 12 varieties of fruit, yielding each month its fresh crop, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing and the restoration of the nations. So we see again, there are nations that will exist. God said, behold, I make all things new. Well, what was made new? Our bodies will be made new. This earth will be made new. The nations will be restored and healed. They will be made new. A new Mexico, a new United States of America, a new Greece, a new Rome. Now you say, well, Dr. Nicole, are you sure that specifically these nations will be on the earth? I don't know for sure what specific nations will be on the new earth. But God tells us, behold, I make all things new. And he says repeatedly, we learn in the book of Revelation, in the new earth prophecy, that there are multiple nations that will exist on the new earth. And so I believe that when God said, behold, I make all things new, that he meant just that. Not some things, because he didn't say I make some things or the best things or the right things. He said all things new. Now, what else does it say? Ending the new earth prophecy, there shall no longer exist there, talking about on the new earth and specifically in this city, the New Jerusalem, anything that is accursed, detestable, foul, offensive, impure, hateful, or horrible, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Let me read that again. So we're talking about what's the role of Jerusalem on the new earth. The role of Jerusalem is to be the temple for the people of, it's to house the temple of the people of the earth, and the temple is no longer a physical place marker. It is the physical presence of Jesus Christ himself and the creator of the earth, our Father, Lord God, omnipotent himself. They will physically dwell on this perfected earth in a perfected Jerusalem. Let me read that again. Reading verse 3 of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, talking about the New Jerusalem, there shall no longer exist there anything that is accursed, detestable, foul, offensive, impure, hateful, or horrible, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. So the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in the New Jerusalem, and his servants shall worship him, pay divine honors to him, and do him holy service. They shall see his face. Who's they? Every person in Christ, you and me. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And finally, and there shall be no more night. They have no need for lamplight or sunlight, for the Lord God will illuminate them and be their light, and they shall reign as kings forever and ever through the eternities of the eternities. And remember from verse 27 about this New Jerusalem, verse 27 of Revelation 21, chapter 21, but nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall ever enter it, nor anyone who commits abominations, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or practices falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope that I have answered each of these questions in a way that connects you to the Word of God, to the will of God, to the reality of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Statements of prophecy include predictions, consolations, and admonitions. So an admonition is a warning. A consolation includes words designed to give hope in the face of distressing events. A prediction is a forecast of a future event. Some predictions in the book of Revelation reflect the crises that have existed and that will emerge as we continue in linear time. And some predictions reflect the beauty, the genius of God's perfect plan that includes a perfected new earth, which is the will of God, and it is the reality that is sure to manifest. I am very excited about this work that we are doing with learning about, discussing Secrets of the Book of Revelation from start to finish. The last specific talk in the month, in the year 2022 on the New Earth Prophecy is coming this Tuesday. In the month of July, I will be focused on a new prophecy in the book of Revelation. So I encourage you to stay with me and to stay with us as we really get into the details about the prophecies in the book of Revelation. If you have a question about the book of Revelation, please text it to us at PGN. Our text number is 1-214-505-8719. Our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. If you want to call right now or during any of the live Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish talks, you can always call at 1-319-527-6027. You can call as a way to listen to the program, or you can call if you have a prayer request or you want to share your perspective about the book of Revelation or if you have a question. So you can reach us via phone at 1-319-527-6027. I'm looking to see if there are any hands raised. I don't see any hands raised at this time. And so I am going to close out with a prayer for you. This prayer comes from the book of Revelation. It is the only book in the Bible for which a blessing is specifically declared simply as a result of hearing the words of the book. Let me pray that prayer over you now. Reading from verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. And so, friend, I declare and decree in the name of Jesus Christ that you are blessed, you are happy, you are to be envied, because today you heard it read, the word of the prophecy in the book of Revelation, and you keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to your heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Until next time, friend, take care.